coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Oh, we got a great show today. Today, we are going to be speaking with a retired police officer from Minnesota. His name is Daniel King, and he has a harrowing story all about how he was attacked by a thug with a 12-gauge shotgun while on duty. Officer King will be telling us the whole story here in segments 2 and 3. Okay, it's been a busy, busy week at the Coriel tribe here. Been taking care of lawn and garden stuff, as always. Been trying to keep the fox out of my chicken coop, as always. Every single year, there's always a fox that's trying to eat my chickens. So far, they've gotten 2, but I've gotten a fox, and I've got one more. We're going to try and give him a sabbatical, a long-term vacation, so to speak. You know, I would be interested in hearing about your experiences with foxes and chickens, okay? Foxes are tough. They really are. They're very timid creatures, smart. They don't like to come out and show themselves very often. They seem to always be there when I'm not. So, what are your tips, your procedures, if you will, for getting rid of those foxes that are trying to eat your chickens? I'd be happy to hear about that. Just send me an email, skipcoriel@hotmail.com, and I will try to check them out. Please don't send me any information or techniques that aren't legal, okay? I don't have any plastic explosives, anything like that. You know, Bill Murray and Caddyshack come to mind, but I don't have any of that. Only techniques that are legal in the state of Michigan. All right, well, we are going to be traveling here. We're getting ready to take a vacation, going to Newport, Oregon. And that is going to be a long, long trip. Anytime you drive from Michigan to the Oregon coast with 3 kids in the car, oh, you know, I could write a book about how to survive a cross-continental road trip with a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old. I tell you, you know, shooting muffs are an essential. They really, really are. I mean, they've got the noise dampener on there. When I need to hear, I can turn them up. When I don't want to hear, I can turn them down. And when you're in a Honda Pilot for 2 days solid driving cross country, it's really handy to be able to turn that sound off and on. I've already picked out 2 audiobooks. Went to my Audible account there on Amazon, and I've got some Joel Rosenberg, The Kremlin Conspiracy, and one other, I don't recall the name, but it helps me while I'm driving, especially late at night, to be listening to a good story. I'm going to be using my FLP app, my Firearms Legal Protection app, right on my iPhone here. I just open up that application, and because I'm going to be traveling across a lot of states, I'm going to need to know what the firearms laws are in all of these states. Where can I carry? Where can I not carry? You know, what are the rules of engagement? All of that good stuff. That's all on my Firearms Legal Protection app as a member. So that will be going with me as well. Yesterday, I canned venison and pork for the trip. I did it in little pint jars. Oh, it is awesome stuff. Really, really good tasting meat. We wanted something where we could just keep it in the car. When you're hungry, you open it up, pop off the lid, go ahead and eat it with a spoon, screw the lid back on. You know, because my wife Sarah and Phoenix, the 9-year-old, they can't eat processed food. So we pretty much, when we go on road trips, we're not stopping at McDonald's. Okay, the stuff's not good for you anyways, but If it was just me, that's probably what I'd do just because it's so convenient. But hey, you know, you got to take care of the family. And so I think tomorrow, my wife wants me to try canning scrambled eggs with kale. I don't know if that's ever been done before. If you have experience with that, send me an email, skipcoriel@hotmail.com, because I don't know if this is going to work, but we'll try to process can a scrambled egg kale omelet. I'll let you know how that turns out. But, oh, the road trip. I'm looking forward to it, to see the family and the relatives, but I'm also dreading it because these road trips can be grueling because sometimes we drive through the whole night. Sarah and I, we just trade off at the wheel and do it that way. But, oh, gosh, I'm tired already just thinking about it. So let's move on to other things. We've got some good stuff on the news here. Did you see where Iran shot down one of our drones? You know, I don't think I would be going out of my way to piss off Donald Trump. I mean, he's got to be in a grumpy mood already, you know, what with the media taking him on and the Democrats just giving him all kinds of crap. If I was over some Ayatollah over there, I think I'd be saying, you know, let's just leave Donald Trump alone right now because he's kind of irritable. And we'll see what happens with that. I think you probably want to go ahead and maybe, stock up. Stock up on the essentials. I mean, if you've been watching the weather at all, and how can't you watch the weather? It seems like it's Seattle weather across the entire country for the past month and a half. Raining every day, flooding. A lot of the fields in our area and across the country have not even been planted yet, simply because they can't get the tractors in there. It's just too muddy. So if you're smart, you will plan on higher grocery prices this fall, maybe some shortages. You know, go ahead and plant some food quickly. Do it quickly. Do a lot more canning. Go out, buy in bulk. Stock up your pantry. That's always a good idea anyways. I mean, coming from a man who writes apocalyptic adventure thrillers, it's always a good idea to have 6 months' supply of food in your house at any given time. All right, enough of that. Let's go to the news now here. All right, here's one here. This is out of Fox News. This one appealed to me simply because for 15 years, I was a high school and college soccer official. And, oh man, I gotta tell you, sometimes these parents can be total lunatics. The headline from Fox News reads, Colorado youth baseball game erupts into brawl as parents slug it out on the field. And I watched this video. They're going to town on each other. It's crazy. There was plenty of slugging Saturday during a Lakewood, Colorado youth baseball game, but luckily none of it involved bats. Roughly a dozen irate parents took their frustrations with the game out on each other, culminating in an all-out brawl on the diamond while their stunned 7-year-old children looked on. That's just amazing. You know, and this isn't just an isolated incident, folks. This has been happening for years. I quit reffing, about 10 years ago, simply because it got dangerous. I mean, I remember there was one game, it was a U8 game. That means USSF, you know, under 8 game. So these were like 7 and 8 year olds. And they were playing a good game. Everybody's having fun. The coaches were going berserk. I ejected one coach. Then I ejected the other coach. Then at halftime, I couldn't shut these parents up. I couldn't keep them off the field. So I said, okay, we're done. And I left the field. And these women, these moms, with their little 7-year-old boys following me off the field, cussing me out in front of their little 7-year-old boys. And I thought, you people are crazy. I barely made it to my car. Okay, no 7-year-old baseball game, soccer game is worth your dignity and your self-respect, folks. You don't treat people like that. You don't treat police officers like that. You don't treat umpires, referees like that. Come on, get a grip. Is society totally losing themselves here? Collectively insane. That's all I got to say. I won't read the whole thing. You can go to foxnews.com and watch the video. I'm sure it's viral. It's just crazy. Beating someone up over a call that you don't like. And one of the things about refereeing sports, no matter what call you make, half the people are mad at you. And they let you know, too. All right, what else we got here? We have got, this is again on Fox News, gun-free zone law disarmed Virginia Beach shooting victim, attorney says. The night before Kate Nixon and 11 others were murdered by a disgruntled co-worker, the decade-long Virginia Beach city employee talked with her husband about bringing a gun to work for self-defense, a decision that was taken out of her hands by the city's ban on employees carrying firearms at work, a Nixon family lawyer said. You know, I deal with this all the time. As a concealed carry instructor, people will ask me about it. You know, and basically it falls under the no trespass law, at least here in Michigan it does, because, you know, these aren't state-sanctioned pistol-free zones. It's just private property. So if you carry on private property and your boss wants to fire you, then he can certainly do that. Probably about once every 2 years or so, I'll have someone call me and say, yeah, I just got fired by my boss. You know, they found out I was carrying, and they want to know what they can do about it. And I'll say, well, find another job. That's about all you can do. You know, you violated the agreement. So, I mean, I understand why you did it, because you don't want to die at work. I sympathize with you. I used to be in that same situation when I worked for the corporate world. And, you know, I won't even tell you what I did, but probably would have got me fired. Anyways, if you carry at work, if you make that decision to carry at work, don't tell anyone. That's the biggest mistake that you can make. People will come to me and say, well, yeah, I carried at work, but I only told one person. Yeah, and that person told one person, that one person told another one person, and it kept going and going and going until eventually it ends up with your boss or human resources or someone who has the power and the ability to fire you. So if you're going to carry at work, deep concealment and go ahead and keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody. But this lady, geez, you know, she's dead now. Her husband tried to talk her into carrying a gun to work in violation of company rules. And, boy, we can't ask her opinion because she's dead now, but I bet $1 million if she had to do it over again, she'd take the gun to work because, well, she's dead. Her fears were realized. She knew about this guy, right? Kate expressed to her husband concerns about this individual in particular, as well as one other person, Nixon family attorney Kevin Martingale told WHRV. In fact, they had a discussion the night before about whether or not she should take a pistol and hide it in her handbag, and decided not to, ultimately, because there's a policy apparently against having any kind of weapons that are concealed in the building. You know what? If you're going to disarm me, you damn well better give me an armed security guard to protect me, someone who's better than me. And I don't think you can do that. I really don't. Unless you're going to give me a Navy SEAL guy, you know, active duty Marine, just forget about it, okay? I do not miss the corporate world. I do not miss the corporate world. 85% of people who die in mass shooting events die in gun-free zones. That's all you need to know. You know, should I recommend that you carry against your company policy? You know, if it were me, yeah, I'd do it. If I had to go back into the corporate world, I wouldn't work at a place that disarmed me. I would not do it. It's just not worth it. Not worth it, folks. But hey, that's a decision that everyone makes on their own. You decide what you want to do, and I'll decide what I want to do. I'm going to make a decision that's best for my family, okay? And that's why I'm self-employed. Okay, we are about out of time for this segment of the Home Defense Show. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with Daniel King. He's a retired police officer out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he just has the most fascinating story about his encounter with a criminal and a 12-gauge shotgun with slugs. You want to hear a story where someone actually got shot with a 12-gauge? This is the story that you want to hear. How did he survive that? Well, and how has he recuperated, and what is his life like now? Retired Officer Daniel King is going to tell us that story when we come back. All right, we got a two-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and find out how firearms legal protection can help you and your family should you ever have to use your gun in self-defense, how they can keep you out of the criminal justice system. Then also go to CenterShot Indoor Gun Range, CenterShot, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees, CenterShotGunRange.com. They will help train you to protect your family and the ones you love. All right, when we come back again, Officer Daniel King, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. Go to publishyourdream.com today. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. There's your host, Skip Coriel. Today we are speaking with a retired police officer, Daniel King from Minnesota. Dan, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, Dan, you know, most of the listeners probably don't know your story and don't know a lot about you. So could you just take a minute, tell people, you know, if you can do it in 60 seconds, you know, what's your life story? What do you want the people to know about you?
Well, I've been a public service man my whole life. I started at 18 in the Army as an engineer, combat engineer, and then later drill instructor. And I went on to become a firefighter paramedic. Did that for full time in some major cities, and then switched to law enforcement in 2000 and never looked back. I basically then worked in a small town as a police officer paramedic, and I moved from a suburban town employment-wise up to a larger city, St. Paul. And then I worked there from 2000 until I was hit in 2012. Well, actually, I was still on until 15 because I was injured and undergoing surgeries and such. So my police career is roughly 15 years.
Wow. Well, thank you for your service, not just your, you know, your Army service and as a paramedic and also as a police officer. Very, very important jobs, altruistic, sacrificial jobs. So, you know, we have some things in common. You did time in the Army. I did time in the Marine Corps. My oldest son, he was an EMT. Not too far from you, Northwest Wisconsin, over in the Menominee St. Clair area.
Oh, yeah. I went to school in Menominee for a while after the Army. I was in UW Stout, so I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, you know, small world, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I'll be going to Menominee here in a couple of days. I have my oldest daughter still lives there, so I have a daughter and six grandchildren there. You know, Dan, what I'm really interested in, you know, you just have a fascinating story. I ran across you on caliberpress.com, and you had written an article called Back to School in 21 Seconds, and that really caught my eye. And let me just read the first couple of short paragraphs here, and then, you know, you can tell me what exactly went down on this. Here we go. 1 minute I was an officer, 21 seconds later, after being shot twice, I knew my career was over due to the damage the 12-gauge slugs did to my left arm. As a former paramedic, I saw the damage and fully expected to lose the arm. I didn't care. I just wanted to survive. I put the tourniquet on with some assistance and obviously survived the night. 18 surgeries and 3 years later, I was medically retired. Yes, I had a pension, but it only covered half of my income since it was not a total disability. But what was I to do with the rest of my life? Dan, that's a mouthful, right? In two paragraphs, man, there's got to be... Tell me about what happened.
Sums it up, I'll tell you. Well, basically, there was a guy who had stolen his brother's shotgun. He'd been acting weird for weeks, and he took his brother's shotgun, slipped out of the house, and they called it in. They thought he was going to hurt himself. I heard the call go out, and my partner and I were just taking a break in an alley because there'd been a previous shooting in the day that involved officers, so we were really backed up. Well, lo and behold, we're sitting taking a break across from the PD in an alley, and that guy walked right in front of us. There he is. He didn't see us. We're down the alley, blacked out, just talking about Brian's new house, is my partner Brian, and we're like, holy cow, that's him. So he moves out of sight. We drop it in gear, pull out of the alley. He turns one look behind him, sees us, takes off running. We're on the air yelling for help. Calling for help. My brother's like, my partner says we got one running. Next thing you know, I see him begin to remove the shotgun. It was slung on his back. And as it comes off, I see that he's removing it. And I can't explain how I knew it, but I knew he wasn't going to drop it or run, which is what most people with guns do. Mm-hmm. I actually fired a round at him because he's running in a neighborhood next to our police station with a shotgun. I missed. This is 11:30 at night, and he disappeared into some trees. Simply, I pulled into the parking lot, prepared to stop to let Brian get out to chase him, and by then he had set up behind a little maintenance shed behind the school and opened fire. First round, I was driving. Driver window was down. I was reaching for the spotlight, and first round blew through my left forearm and passed right in front of Brian's chest before he even got out of the car. Of course, we didn't know this till we saw the video. And then the second round came through the passenger side back window, you know, the prisoner compartment, caught me in the upper left back and was stopped just barely by my vest. It missed the arm opening by about 3 inches. And by then, I'm like, all right, I know something's wrong. I don't feel any pain, but I know I'm being hit. So I slammed the lid on a computer, put my foot on the door, on the driver's door, and launch out the door Brian just rolled out of, the passenger door. I let the car ghost right into a dumpster, and then next thing I know, I'm on my knees. I swing the gun back. It's pure black. All I see is muzzle flash from Brian engaging the guy, and Brian ended up, but he fired 22 rounds total, and his first 17 were in 7 seconds. I mean, it's quite an amazing piece of work.
Wow.
He did. And, yeah, he was awarded the Officer of the Year Medal for Bravery and all that, which he deserved, because he saved my life.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if Ryan was, you know, hurt. I didn't know if this guy had an accomplice. We didn't know anything. So I just had to go to work on my arm because I saw how blown out it was. So when I found out later I'd lost half my blood in 2 minutes, I realized how critical tourniquets are and that my medical training definitely was a benefit. So quite a ride that night, I'll tell you.
Gosh, yeah. Dan, how old were you when this happened?
46. I was in about my 10th or 11th year as an officer. I didn't become a cop till I was 32. Mm-hmm. I was doing firefighting and paramedic and army and stuff before that. But, yeah, I was 46.
Wow. That's, you know, you said that when you got hit, you couldn't feel pain. I always hear
Not
different
initially.
Stories, you know. You know, some people feel pain. Some people don't even know they've been hit. You definitely knew that you were hit.
Oh, yeah, but don't get me wrong. About a minute into it, holy cow, it's the most intense burning in the arm. You know, hot water, boiling tar, flamethrower, whatever you want to call it. It was the worst pain of my life. But initially, it was just thump, thump, and the guy had a semi-automatic 12-gauge, and he put 3 rounds into the car. 2 of them hit me, and... you know, we're 20 feet away. And, yeah, believe me, the pain was there afterwards. And actually, I credit the pain with keeping me conscious and actually made me a little bit angry because how dare he shoot an officer? You know what I mean? It was that whole mindset of, I just got shot and this SOB just blasted me. You know what I mean? And I was angry and the pain was there and it kept me focused on, you know, basically self-treatment and then trying to, you know, just survive. So,
yeah.
The pain definitely showed up about a minute into it.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan, that's one of the things that a lot of people, they downplay or just totally ignore, and that's like after action. You know, I teach concealed carry classes, and everyone wants to learn how to shoot, but, you know, they don't carry a tourniquet with them or in their car or whatever, and if they did, they didn't know how, they don't know how to put it on anyways.
But, I teach as well. I agree with you.
You know,
people get a gun to carry, and then they think they're a gunfighter, and that's just the beginning stage, you know. That's just stage one, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dan, how did you survive? I mean, you lost half of your blood. What happened from the shooting on?
You can live with, like, 10% of your blood. You may not be conscious, but you can live with 10%. They found this through transplant research in the 50s. So right after I'm hit, I don't know how much blood I've lost. I just see a lot on the ground, a lot in my uniform. And I don't think the medics who showed up in 4 minutes, they were there in 4 minutes. Because you could almost see their fire station down the street if you'd walked out in front of the school. So I got there. I never went below my knees yelling, get this stuff off me, the vest and stuff, because I'm really more worried about the one in my back, because I thought if that got through, I know the anatomy, lungs, heart, aorta, all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
I was really freaked about that one because once the tourniquet was on, I'm like, well, that's all I can do. So they got the gear off and they're like, no, it's all red and cut, but it didn't blow through. It just barely stopped it. So then they got there. I actually stood up, turned, sat on the cot, and they rolled me into the rig, and then they started messing around with the IV on the good arm. And I got a little impatient because I'm in a lot of pain and I know I have lost more blood than I think they noticed. So after that, it was a quick ride to the hospital, and then, propping me up in the ER and going to work on me. So, and I would just, give me more pain meds, please. That burn was not stopping. I mean, they were hitting me with everything they could, morphine, Dilaudid, everything, I guess. And, it was a cooker, I'll tell you. So, yeah, so I'm in the ER, and then someone ran and got my wife down to the house. It was about a half hour away. And, that was kind of obviously traumatic for her, but, I'll tell your listeners, even if you're uncomfortable, that you need to talk to your family and friends about what if. If you don't do that, it's a punch in the face at midnight when they come to the door saying, hey, you got to get in this car and go.
Yeah.
So that's something I really think people need to do. But her first question to my friend who got her was, is he dead? You know, because all of a sudden my best friend's in the driveway in the police car and, you know, it's midnight. So, that's something you really got to prepare your family for, and it's not easy. So.
Yeah. Well, Dan, that's just an incredible story. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We're speaking with Dan King, retired police officer out of Minnesota. Dan, what did they have to do to you that night and after that? Because there must have been other surgeries as well.
Oh, yes.
What happened?
That night I was kind of stabilized in the ER, and they started assembling the surgical team. And by now I am starting to fade out, you know, as far as medications and stuff. So my wife came in and saw that I was going to make it, and, you know, that helped, calm people down. And I went into surgery, and I think it was 13 or 14 hours, and they basically started removing bone fragments and putting in, I call them railroad tracks. There's two titanium rails in there, a bunch of screws. The x-rays before and after are pretty dramatic. I show them in the debriefing I do for this shooting for Caliber Press and for others, all over the country. And, that was 13, 14 hours. And then I was in the hospital for 8 days, and every other day they took me into surgery for a few more hours to debride the wound, basically take out chunks of meat and bone. And I'm sorry if it's graphic, but they had to kind of clean it up.
Sure.
And, try to reestablish circulation. So for 3 days, they didn't know whether or not they were going to take the arm. Mm. And I didn't care. I was alive. I knew my career was over, but it didn't matter. I'm still here. You know what I mean? That's what I kept saying, you know. So I, over the next 3 years, was 18 surgeries trying to reconnect tendons and muscle and, you know, reorganize things in there. And then about a year into it, they did amputate my left index finger, which you can't even tell because he clipped it so far back in the hand. It just wasn't anymore. And I am right-handed, so I can still, you know, write and you know, do what I got to do around the house. But I basically... 18 surgeries, 3 years, and it was over, and they said, you're as good as you're going to get. And the final evaluation was that I had a disability of about 60%, because any more than that, they would have had to take the arm to get me a higher percentage. So basically, it was obvious that since I cannot rotate my wrist or flex my wrist, and half my left hand is numb, there's no way I could continue on duty. So
yeah,
education and training is my future.
Oh, gosh, so, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Pretty wild time.
All right. Well, Dan, that is quite the story here. Hold on with us here, because we're going to take a 2-minute break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to speak some more with Dan King about his experience, and more importantly about, well, what is he going to do now? Because he's still got his whole life ahead of him. So, folks, while we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and also check out CenterShot Indoor Gun Range at CenterShotGunRange.com. When we come back, we'll be speaking again with retired police officer Daniel King. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Coriel, the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book, by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today, we are having a fascinating conversation with retired police officer Daniel King. Dan, boy, that was just an incredible story that you told us there in the last segment. You know, how in the world, you know, have you made it through, you know, all the past year or so? You're being reconstructed, 18 surgeries. You've got to go on. You still have to provide for your family somehow. So tell us the story of reconstruction. What are you doing now?
Well, basically, when it was decided that I definitely wasn't going back, which, again, I knew all along, a lot of people are like, hey, Kinger, you're going to make it back. You're going to do great. And they're really encouraging. But I know what I feel. I can see the arm. I know the limits. So basically, work comp kicks in, and they obviously paid for all the medical end of it. And then, since I am then disabled, they have to pick up the retraining option. So basically, I can't be an officer anymore. And as all the officers out there and fire and EMS know, that's a very unique job, and there's not a lot like it. So to me, the most logical thing to do would be get right back into training so I could stay in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And since I've been training since the Army as a DI, and then with St. Paul, I was an FTO, of course, and then the academy. I taught in the academy quite a bit. So it just seemed like a natural thing for me. So I wanted to go back into education. So first, I had to finish my bachelor's in police science, just finish that because it had already been started. So that was 11 months, finished that. And then I went on to the master's program in educational leadership is what it's called here, educational management, meaning you will be taught to manage other instructors, other teachers, people who are involved in education. And I, of course, focused on law enforcement. So work comp paid for that. And I graduated out of the program here in July from the master's program for education. And now I'm just doing a bit of a job search situation. In fact, I was working on an application when you called. So I have some options out there, and I think it's a pretty bright future for me because I really think I'm going to be able to stay in law enforcement, but in an education sense. So I'm just definitely very pleased that I can move on and continue to do this.
Well, Dan, you've been through a lot. But what I'm hearing is you've got the attitude. You've got the right attitude. Okay, yeah, this is rough. some jerk shot me, lost, part of my arm, on disability, all of this stuff. But you're not letting it get you down. And, whether you're in the middle of a firefight or whether, you're fighting for a job or, your future, that attitude, it's just so important. I mean, you probably, where did you learn that, Dan?
Well, I mean, I of course credit my parents and family for, basically, I think, raising me in a positive way. And that, we did not have a lot of money. I was eating government cheese and powdered milk and we were poor and we had the power shut off a few times, and back when they could do that. Mm-hmm. And they basically said, you know, things are going to go wrong, but you've got two ways to deal with it. You just give up or you move on.
Yeah.
And I've been saying since before I was hit and after, a slogan I really like is called "Chance favors the prepared mind." So if you prepare your mind before an event like this, it makes it a lot easier to move on after. And I'm not saying nobody's going to know what happens. I didn't know I was going to get shot up across from the PD.
Yeah.
But I knew that someday something serious could happen, and I better be ready for it, and I better be ready for, to move on. So to me, it's just an attitude of, well, stress to me is real simple. Stress is internal.
Mm-hmm.
How you react is up to you. Your house could burn down. You can go crawl in a bottle, or go do drugs, or go insane, or you go, you know what, this really sucks, but I got to rebuild.
Yeah.
To me, it's just self-defeating unless you just push on. And I know it's easy to sit here and say, ooh, drive on, you know, keep going, especially when things become overwhelming, especially involving people who experience a death of a family member, which I did not in this case, of course. It was all me. But I just think that I give up when it's left out there.
Yeah.
So it's just an attitude of what we've had. I think they can build that in their mind if they just think about, okay, if the worst happened, what would I do? And you got to think about it.
How, Dan, how has it affected your family, and how are they handling it?
My wife's been a solid rock. She's just been amazing since moment one. She stayed in the hospital with me all 8 days, and then all the surgeries after that, you know, and, you know, in the waiting room, and then helping me at home and bandaging and all that. And then you come on to the later parts, but once I'm retired, she's always been encouraging. It's like, oh, there's a lot you can do, and let me know what you need. And she's never been pushing me, oh, go get a job, hurry up, hurry up. I said, well, I got to get through the education first. And then she backed my play on that when I was in here in the office constantly doing papers and getting, you know, getting assignments done. So she's been solid. I do not have children, so they did not have to go through any of that, you know, what's wrong with daddy thing. So I was good. I was good there. And then, of course, a good friendship, good friend support group. I got a core group of about 3 or 4 friends I really rely on, and amazing people, because they, you know, I can't do as much as I could to come and go fix the sink. Well, that's a whole chore for me now. So, you know, they come down and help me out. So family's been great. My mom and dad are no longer with us, so I've basically got a brother and a sister and my wife and my friends. So, again, I like the small core group that really understands me and what happened and how things are working now. So I'm a very fortunate man.
Yeah. So, Dan, your friend Brian, your old partner, are you still in contact with him?
Oh, yes, he's still on the job. He's working in the downtown district and on days. And, we talk every night. We go out on the anniversary of the shooting every year, take the wives and have dinner. And we're not celebrating it, but we're celebrating survival. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The warrior mindset, you know, and warrior mindset's under fire right now. And we don't care. We call it the warrior mindset, and we're glad to have it. So, yes, he's my brother now, and we're brothers for life. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, isn't that amazing? Well. I mean, you know, you see this in the military and also in law enforcement. It's like, you know, you're going into the trenches with these guys.
Yes.
And it's like, it's really funny. You know, I remember being in the Marines, and, you know, the guys that I'm serving with, it's like if we were in civilian life, we wouldn't even look at each other. I mean, because we just had nothing in common. But when you go into service with somebody, it's like
you're thrown together.
Yeah, the differences go away, and it's like, yeah, he's my buddy, and, you know, hey, if I get hit, you'll pull me out. If you get hit, I'll pull you out. You know, it's like this social contract that we have. So that is fantastic. Yeah. What, Dan, tell me about your dream job. If you could pick any job, you're looking right now. I know my listeners, if they can help, they want to help. What is your dream job, Dan?
Well, basically to teach, or at least be an administrator in a teaching facility for law enforcement. It's just, your timing is perfect because, I'm about to apply for a director's job at a training center that's just still being built. It's still under construction. And the director, and it's a fire, EMS, and law enforcement training facility. Very modular, very modern range, you know, interchangeable walls in the simulation rooms and outdoor facilities for EMS and fire. It's going to be quite the deal. That would be my dream job, to be involved in either coordinating, directing, or helping, or even just as an instructor somewhere in law enforcement. And I do have a couple of other opportunities here in town I'm looking at if this doesn't work out. So basically teaching, education, training, because I've got a lifetime of experience. I'm 52 next month, and between the Army, EMS, fire, police, I think I got some good stories and some good training. And, you know, I really think that my passion for training is going to really keep me going. As you can tell, I speak rather fast, and sometimes I get a little ahead of myself because I'm so passionate about telling the story or teaching this technique or doing whatever it is I need to do. So I speak quickly and I think quickly, and I really enjoy the classroom and hands-on approach to training. So bottom line is I want to be a trainer and educator.
Well, and Dan, you have something to offer that most of us can't offer to our students. I mean, I teach concealed carry and related stuff, but I've never been in a gunfight. I've trained for it for, you know, my entire adult life, but it's just, for whatever reason, has never happened to me. But it has happened to you.
Right.
And so you, when you speak, people listen, kind of like E.F. Hutton, right? You know, because you've been there.
Right. And I remember.
Well, it's just that's the way that it is. You know, what you say carries more weight just because, you know, you've been shot and you lived through it. And boy,
It goes to credibility. I think I have some credibility.
Absolutely.
Not just being shot, but what I've seen, what I've done. Every officer out there, EMS, fire, they all have stories, some good, some horrible. But each of that is a piece of you after that, and it can help you. And I caution people not to get too caught up in that because, you know, as we know, officer suicides are a problem and, you know, way above the national average. And I know EMS and fire are often neglected as well.
Yeah.
So those things happen. They can be building blocks. They do not have to be, you know, a club to the head. I mean, they can help you if you put them in perspective.
Sure.
My attitude always was, I was there to help. If I couldn't help, I'd have to.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't want to dismiss people's suffering, but
yeah.
Right?
You know, so. Dan, I see in the news, I was just reading some articles this morning about this. It just seems to me, in general, especially in the larger cities, that law enforcement seems to be under fire. Every time there's an officer involved shooting or someone does something that appears to be questionable, the media just seems to paint a lot of law enforcement with a very broad brush that says, you're the bad guys. You get up in the morning thinking, oh, how can I violate, you know, Johnny Cupcake's civil rights? And the police officers that I know, it's just not like that. But what's your opinion on that? Where do you see that going?
You are beyond 100% correct. That's exactly what's happening. I didn't get up every day going, you know what, I'm going to go blow away somebody so I can get sued, fired, indicted. That's what I'm
thinking.
You know what
right.
I mean? They really think that we're out there hunting people. I mean, you know, give me a break. We're out there ready to die for people, not hunting
right.
them. And even if a mistake is made, you know, people who are civilians who are caught for criminal things, they get their day in court. We don't. Our court is public opinion. They put a video out within hours. The officer is now guilty. The officer is criminal, and they want him fired and beaten and killed and sent to the moon. I mean, it's just the problem is I remember back my father and some other people tell me about the 70s and that troops were bombing police out in L.A. and all over the place. And then the tide swung back to where in the 80s and 90s we were popular again. But I think Ferguson became our Rodney King.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ferguson changed things dramatically, where now just a piece of video, even though there was no video there, just a piece of video now is enough to try and judge an officer within hours.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is the media and the accessibility to cell phones. And when people see a piece of a video instead of all of it, you know, they're going to form opinion. And that's ignorance on my part. I mean, that my belief is that they're just ignorant. But a person can be sane and rational. People are crazy, impulsive, and addicts. So an individual person can be, you know, spoken to and persuaded to understand our side. But as a general mass, the media is just gutting us. And I don't see it swinging back, to be honest with you. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I said all we can do now is train. Stay close, keep each other, you know, under watch, and just make sure we take care of each other. So I just don't see it coming back to a time when police are heroes and the greatest ever, even though I know the bulk of the civilian world does support us. But yeah, those who do not are so loud and have such a huge platform. And it seems like it's kind of a dark time, but I refuse to let that stop me from going out there. And I know everybody else out there, fire, EMS, police, going out there doing your job. And as an educator, it's my job to prepare people for that type of attack, not just the physical attack. So I'm not giving up on it. I'm well aware of it. Jim Glennon over at Calvert Press is well aware of it. He published that article for me. He's the only man, or the only company I trust with my story when I'm not in the world. So,
yeah.
A lot of your listeners may have seen Caliber Press presentations on the shooting, and I've already seen the video and the story on this. So, I really appreciate him for doing that, and I sure appreciate you for giving me time to speak about this stuff. So,
all right.
This is what we need to do. I thank you for it.
Well, hey, not a problem, Dan. It's certainly my pleasure here. I've got one final question for you. You know, most of my listeners, you know, they're shooters. They love to shoot pistol, you know, either competition or just for fun or for personal protection. You know, you lost part of the ability in your left arm. How are you shooting now? Do you still get to carry? How did you compensate for all of that?
Absolutely. I qualify every year under HR 218, and I went and got a civilian permit to carry as well, because as we know, it's a permit to purchase here in Minnesota. I actually do not bad at all. The recoil can be a bit painful on larger calibers, but I don't shoot anything above 45 for the most part, because it's just too much. But the cool thing is, if I could show you, I wish I could visually show you, being that the index finger is gone, my reaction side grip, or my I don't know how strong it'll be, I could put all three of my remaining fingers around the three fingers that are on the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have the pinky finger dangling down below.
Oh,
so okay. I actually have a pretty tight grip and can really punch it out there. And of course, I really want to stay on still, because now no one's training me.
Yeah.
I have to get my own training. You know what I mean? So I'm doing well with it, and my joke is I don't go to the bathroom in my own house without a gun on. of course, I'm kidding around the house, but I do not leave the house without it. And I encourage anyone to get into the shooting sports and the self-defense, and especially new shooters are really timid about it. I really like talking to them, because there's so many options for them now. And I'm shooting well. I'm enjoying it. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to quit. So I'm doing all right, and plus AR-15 is real simple too. So
sure,
all I have is a vertical foregrip on the rifle, and I'm good to go.
All right,
I'm really enjoying that. So it's America. I love it.
Oh, all right. Well, Dan. Okay, before you go, can you please tell people? Let's say there's someone out there. They got a lead on a job for you. Is there any way that they can get a hold of you to let you know how they can help you?
The best way is just, I guess, through my email address. I am in Minnesota, so, and I can't travel too far from the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, but my email address, if you want that, I'll give you that right now. Is that something you...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? It's basically Daniel K. King. K is in kilo, and the middle initial is K. Daniel K. King, 613@comcast.net. And Comcast, everyone knows the company, so...
Sure.
Daniel K. King, 613@comcast.net, and I appreciate any help. I've got plenty of support here as well. So I thank your listeners for anything they can do. Otherwise, I thank you for listening to the story and hopefully learning from it.
Okay. Dan, this is fantastic. I want to thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show today.
Thank you so much for having me, sir.
All right. Okay, folks, we got another 2-minute break. When we come back, I will give you the wrap-up in segment 4, and we'll talk a little bit more about, officers and some of the problems that they're running across all over the country. While we're away, check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and then also Centershot Indoor Gun Range, centershotgunrange.com, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees. This is Skip Coriel and Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get civilian combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the concealed carry book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A thief got more than he bargained for after stealing a sport utility vehicle in Missoula, Montana. Just after 8 a.m., local deputies were called to investigate the theft. In their search for the offender, the officer spotted the SUV and attempted to pull it over and apprehend the illicit driver. However, he fled through several neighborhoods and a construction site before crashing into a mailbox. Witnessing the pursuit and crash outside his window, a nearby resident armed himself in case he was drawn into the confrontation. And sure enough, the carjacker forced his way into that very house where he was met by the vigilant homeowner who held him there till the police could arrive to arrest him on multiple charges.
Wow, talk about the wrong place at the wrong time, huh, Colonel?
Yeah, you know, you should think you plan your car thefts a little better, but then again.
Well, you know, it goes both ways, right? I mean, the bad guy, he doesn't get to choose what the homeowner's going to do. The homeowner doesn't get to choose who breaks into his house. So fortunately for him, Montana is a pretty gun-friendly state. If I were a burglar, I think I would pick someplace like New York, Connecticut, California.
Chicago,
exactly. Someplace is going to be a little more friendly, right? That way, if you barge in, you get hurt, you can at least sue the homeowner. Right. But in Montana, they'll just shoot you.
Well, you know, that's a solution. And obviously, the homeowner anticipated, of course, watching somebody crash into your mailbox and then approach your house would probably be an indicator.
Definitely.
You know, if he was crashed into your mailbox and was laying in the car crying, that would be one thing.
Right. Well, once they get inside the house, you know, Castle Doctrine takes effect, and that's in effect in most states, you know, even the People's Republic of Illinois, places like that. So once they get inside your home, Castle Doctrine is in force. You get your gun, make sure it's readily accessible, make sure it's loaded, obviously, get your family safe inside the master bedroom so you can go out there and you can do what homeowners do best.
And that should include calling 911, shouldn't it?
Well, after you do your job, call 911.
Okay. But that homeowner happened to see this happening, so he went and found his weapon. That would be a good time while he was watching.
Sure.
Because even if it's all honest, there's still a wreck that needs to be investigated.
Absolutely. And be careful what you say to the 911 dispatcher, because what a lot of people don't understand, when you call 911, as soon as the phone starts ringing, the recording starts.
Okay. So you're on record.
Absolutely.
But be prepared. I learned that as a Boy Scout, and it still applies.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Well, okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Daniel King, retired police officer from Minnesota. Now, that was quite a story. I really enjoyed that. I found it fascinating. I love to interview people, to talk to people, just to pick their brain. People that have been through what I've been training to do my whole life. You know, whether you're a civilian, whether you're a police officer, whether you're in the military, that's the kind of stuff that can happen to you. And it happens so fast. And I think that's one of the things that most of us aren't ready for. You know, we go ahead and we think in our own mind, okay, when my firefight happens, this is what it's going to look like, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to jump into the phone booth, don my Superman cape and leotards, and jump out and vanquish the evil foe. And those are all good intentions, but I don't think it happens that way. I think things just start happening so fast, and you're trying to do so many things at the same time that you fall back on your training, and if you don't have the training to fall back on, then you fall down. And boy, I think Officer Daniel King would probably agree with me that things happen really, really fast. I was reading a different article from CaliberPress.com, and it's titled "The Mindful Officer Staying Calm in the Storm." It was written by Sean Perrone, and boy, it says, "We as LEOs aren't strangers to performance under stress. Often negotiating many stressful situations in a single tour of duty, I wonder what can cause mistakes, or even worse, panic during our daily roller coaster ride." A sports analogy. Your favorite NFL receiver misses a sideline catch on the third down and fails to move the chains. Or when you musically inclined folks drop a string of notes during your solo. How about asking your high school dream girl out on a first date, and whatever words you intended to come out, well, don't. So, what can we single out in simplistic terms as the prime source of keeping it together or not? It seems in all cases above that attention is lacking. We are distracted somehow. How many times do we train with our firearms or hand-to-hand tactics, or basic handcuffing techniques? And how many times have you heard your instructor say training is exactly what you will revert back to in the field? So when your mind gets distracted and slips off task, what would you expect other than trouble? And the fact is, our minds do this much of the time, with everything from worries to doubts and even fears. So this repetition training helps us to even subconsciously focus on the task at hand. And when we panic, the mind is rapidly firing the usual questions. Did I arrive too late? What if I park too far away or too close? While doing this, we cannot concentrate adequately on most important things like, what is the threat right now, right in front of you? So we use multitasking as a word all the time. You may even think you are good at it. Here's the thing. The human brain is just not capable of multitasking. We are actually doing what those who study the brain calls task switching. In other words, we actually can do one task at a time well with full attention and focus. When we're having these fleeting thoughts, doubts are overanalyzed, as most cops learn as habit. This naturally competes with what is most relevant or threatening and what is actually in front of you. This is when we choke, drop the ball, or make a mistake. Is it because we are bad at what we do? No, of course not. We can all improve on awareness, attention, and focus. So a little about our learned habit of overanalysis. We often do this thinking we're preparing ourselves. For most of us, this process is so routine that we do it subconsciously without much thinking involved. You know, and the article goes on and it talks about different ways that you can try to avoid this. You know, learn to be okay with unpleasant feelings, pre-tour or post-tour relaxation techniques, and practice. You know, and whether you're an LEO, whether you're in the military, or whether you're a civilian and you just care to protect yourself and your family, stress is always a problem. It's always been a problem, and it will always be a problem. That's why, you know, when I'm teaching my advanced carry classes, we practice under stress. Is it more difficult? Yeah. Is there a higher level of potential danger? Well, yeah, there is, because people do stupid things when they get stressed out. But, you know, if you want to survive that gunfight, if you want to do it right, the more practice you have, the more training you have, the better job that you're going to do. Remember, no one ever came out of a gunfight saying, "Oh, man, I just wish I'd had less training." That's not going to happen, folks. Not going to happen. I encourage you to get more training. Less than 1% of concealed carry holders in the country go on to get any training beyond what the government mandated. So be part of the elite. Go beyond that 1%. Get some more training, okay? All right. Well, I want to thank retired police officer Daniel King from Minnesota for going ahead and telling his story, because it will be so valuable to all of us civilians here. Now, to help Daniel out, if you've got anything constructive for him, any leads, any encouragement, you can email him at DanielKKing613@comcast.net. DanielKKing613@comcast.net. Don't bother him, all right? Just send encouraging notes and maybe employment leads that he can follow. I think he's going to do a fantastic job. He's going to overcome this. He's already done the hard part. All he needs now is a job. So, once again, thank you, Dan King from Minnesota. All right, we are about out of time. Next week on the Home Defense Show, I will be speaking with a man from Oregon, another concealed carry instructor. I will be in Oregon. So I think, you know, as long as I'm there, I might as well find out what the rules are. And myself and instructor Don Parsons, we're going to be talking about concealed carry in Oregon. What is it like? It's different than Michigan, so hey, I better find it out. All right. Between now and next week, I want you to go ahead and go on Amazon.com and pick up a copy of Civilian Combat to Concealed Carry book or Concealed Carry for Christians. Remember, it is on audiobook as well as Kindle as well as paperback. So check all three of those out on Amazon.com. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!